Chapter 130. The setting of a trap for finding out whether it was accidentally done soon superseded, as a practical piece of cunning, the abstruser inquiry why otherwise it was done. And he devised a means. Rogue Rider Hood went into his lockhouse, and brought forth, into the now sober gray light, his chest of clothes. Sitting on the grass beside it, he turned out, one by one, the articles it contained, until he came to a conspicuous bright red neckerchief stained black here and there by wear. It arrested his attention, and he sat pausing over it, until he took off the rusty colorless wisp that he wore round his throat, and substituted the red neckerchief, leaving the long ends flowing. Now, apostrophe said the rogue, if arter he sees me in this neckhandkercher, I see him in a similar neckhandkercher, it won't be accident. Apostrophe apostrophe elated by his device, he carried his chest in again, and went to supper. Lock ho! Lock! Apostrophe it was a light night, and a barge coming down summoned him out of a long doze. In due course he had let the barge through, and was alone again, looking to the closing of his gates, when Bradley Headstone appeared before him, standing on the brink of the lock. Halloa! Apostrophe apostrophe said Riderhood. Back a ready, toatherist? Apostrophe, he has put up for the night, at an angler's inn, apostrophe was the fatigued and hoarse reply. He goes on, up the river, at 6 in the morning. I have come back for a couple of hours rest. Apostrophe, you want 'em, apostrophe said Riderhood, making towards the schoolmaster by his plank bridge. I don't want them, apostrophe returned Bradley, irritably, because I would rather not have them, but would much prefer, to follow him all night. However, if he won't lead, I can't follow. I have been waiting about, until I could discover, for a certainty, at what time he starts. If I couldn't have made sure of it, I should have stayed there. This would be a bad pit for a man, to be flung into with his hands tied. These slippery smooth walls would give him no chance. And I suppose those gates would suck him down? Apostrophe, suck him down, or swallow him up, he wouldn't get out, apostrophe said Riderhood. Not even, if his hands weren't tied, he wouldn't. Shut him in at both ends, and I'd give him a pint o' old ale ever, to come up to me standing here. Apostrophe, Bradley looked down with a ghastly relish. You run about the brink, and run across it, in this uncertain light, on a few inches width of rotten wood, apostrophe said he. I wonder you have no thought of being drowned. Apostrophe, I can't be. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Riderhood. You can't be drowned? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Riderhood, shaking his head with an air of thorough conviction, it's well known. I've been brought out o' drowning, and I can't be drowned. I wouldn't have that there busted blowbridger aware on it, or her people might make it tell agent the damages I mean to get. But it's well known to waterside characters like myself, that a man has been brought out o' drowning, can never be drowned. Apostrophe, Bradley smiled sourly at the ignorance he would have corrected in one of his pupils, and continued to look down into the water, as if the place had a gloomy fascination for him. You seem to like it, apostrophe said Riderhood. He took no notice, but stood looking down, as if he had not heard the words. There was a very dark expression on his face, an expression that the rogue found it hard to understand. It was fierce, and full of purpose, but the purpose might have been as much against himself as against another. If he had stepped back for a spring, taken a leap, and thrown himself in, it would have been no surprising sequel to the look. Perhaps his troubled soul, set upon some violence, did hover for the moment between that violence and another. Didn't you say, apostrophe asked Riderhood, after watching him for a while with a sidelong glance, as you had come back for a couple o' hours rest? Apostrophe apostrophe, but, even then he had to jog him with his elbow before he answered. Eh? Yes. Apostrophe, hadn't you better come in, and take your couple o' hours rest? Thank you. Yes. With the look of one just awakened, he followed Rider Hood into the lockhouse, where the latter produced from a cupboard some cold salt beef and half a loaf, some gin in a bottle, and some water in a jug. The last he brought in, cool and dripping, from the river. There, Totherist, said Rider Hood, stooping over him to put it on the table. You'd better take a bite and a sup, afore you takes your snooze. The draggling ends of the red neckerchief caught the schoolmaster's eyes. Rider Hood saw him look at it. Oh! Thought that worthy. You're a taking notice, are you? Come. You shall have a good squint at it then. With which reflection he sat down on the other side of the table, threw open his vest, and made a pretense of retying the neckerchief with much deliberation. Bradley ate and drank. As he sat at his platter and mug, Rider Hood saw him, again and yet again, steal a look at the neckerchief, as if he were correcting his slow observation and prompting his sluggish memory. When you're ready for your snooze, said that honest creature, chuck yourself on my bed in the corner, Totherist. It'll be broad day afore 3. I'll call you early. I shall require no calling, answered Bradley. And soon afterwards, divesting himself only of his shoes and coat, laid himself down. Rider Hood, leaning back in his wooden armchair with his arms folded on his breast, looked at him lying with his right hand clenched in his sleep and his teeth set, until a film came over his own sight, and he slept too. He awoke to find that it was daylight, and that his visitor was already astir, and going out to the riverside to cool his head. Though I'm blessed, muttered Rider Hood at the lockhouse door, looking after him, if I think there's water enough in all the Thames to do that for you. Within 5 minutes he had taken his departure, and was passing on into the calm distance as he had passed yesterday. Rider Hood knew when the fish leaped, by his starting and glancing round. Lock ho! Lock! At intervals all day, and lock ho! Lock! Thrice in the ensuing night, but no return of Bradley. The second day was sultry and oppressive. In the afternoon, a thunderstorm came up, and had but newly broken into a furious sweep of rain, when he rushed in at the door, like the storm itself. You've seen him with her? Exclaimed Rider Hood, starting up. I have. Where? At his journey's end. His boat's hauled up for 3 days. I heard him give the order. Then, I saw him wait for her and meet her. I saw them, he stopped as though he were suffocating, and began again. I saw them walking side by side, last night. What did you do? Nothing. What are you going to do? He dropped into a chair, and laughed. Immediately afterwards, a great spurt of blood burst from his nose. How does that happen? Asked Rider Hood. I don't know. I can't keep it back. It has happened twice, 3 times, 4 times, I don't know how many times since last night. I taste it, smell it, see it, it chokes me, and then it breaks out like this. He went into the pelting rain again with his head bare, and, bending low over the river, and scooping up the water with his 2 hands, washed the blood away. All beyond his figure, as Rider Hood looked from the door, was a vast dark curtain in solemn movement towards one quarter of the heavens. He raised his head and came back, wet from head to foot, but with the lower parts of his sleeves, where he had dipped into the river, streaming water. Your face is like a ghost's, said Rider Hood. Did you ever see a ghost? Was the sullen retort. I mean to say, you're quite wore out. That may well be. I have had no rest since I left here. I don't remember that I have so much as sat down since I left here. Lie down now then, said Rider Hood. I will, if you will give me something to quench my thirst first. apostrophe, the bottle and jug were again produced, and he mixed a weak draught, and another, and drank both in quick succession. You asked me something, apostrophe, he said then. No, I didn't, apostrophe, replied Riderhood. I tell you, apostrophe, retorted Bradley, turning upon him in a wild and desperate manner, you asked me something, before I went out to wash my face in the river. Oh, then? Apostrophe, said Riderhood, backing a little. I asked you what you was a going to do. Apostrophe, how can a man in this state know? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he answered, protesting with both his tremulous hands, with an action so vigorously angry, that he shook the water from his sleeves upon the floor, as if he had wrung them. How can I plan anything, if I haven't sleep? Apostrophe, why, that's what I as good as said, apostrophe, returned the other. Didn't I say lie down? Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, perhaps you did. Apostrophe, well, anyways I says it again. Sleep where you slept last. The sounder and longer you can sleep, the better you'll know arter words what you're up to. Apostrophe, his pointing to the truckle bed in the corner, seemed gradually to bring that poor couch to Bradley's wandering remembrance. He slipped off his worn down trodden shoes, and cast himself heavily, all wet as he was, upon the bed. Riderhood sat down in his wooden armchair, and looked through the window at the lightning, and listened to the thunder. But, his thoughts were far from being absorbed by the thunder and the lightning, for again and again and again he looked very curiously at the exhausted man upon the bed. The man had turned up the collar of the rough coat he wore, to shelter himself from the storm, and had buttoned it about his neck. Unconscious of that, and of most things, he had left the coat so, both when he had laved his face in the river, and when he had cast himself upon the bed, though it would have been much easier to him, if he had unloosened it. The thunder rolled heavily, and the forked lightning seemed to make jagged rents in every part of the vast curtain without, as Riderhood sat by the window, glancing at the bed. Sometimes, he saw the man upon the bed, by a red light, sometimes, by a blue, sometimes, he scarcely saw him in the darkness of the storm, sometimes he saw nothing of him in the blinding glare of palpitating white fire. Anon, the rain would come again with a tremendous rush, and the river would seem to rise to meet it, and a blast of wind, bursting upon the door, would flutter the hair and dress of the man, as if invisible messengers were come around the bed to carry him away. From all these phases of the storm, Riderhood would turn, as if they were interruptions, rather striking interruptions possibly, but interruptions still of his scrutiny of the sleeper. He sleeps sound, apostrophe, he said within himself. Yet he's that up to me, and that noticing of me, that my getting out of my chair may wake him, when a rattling peal won't, let alone my touching of him. Apostrophe, he very cautiously rose to his feet. Totherist, apostrophe, he said, in a low, calm voice, are you a lying easy? There's a chill in the air, governor. Shall I put a coat over you? Apostrophe, no answer. That's about what it is, Arity, you see, apostrophe, muttered Riderhood in a lower and a different voice. A coat over you, a coat over you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the sleeper moving an arm, he sat down again in his chair, and feigned to watch the storm from the window. It was a grand spectacle, but not so grand, as to keep his eyes, for half a minute together, from stealing a look at the man upon the bed. It was at the concealed throat of the sleeper that Riderhood so often looked so curiously, until the sleep seemed to deepen into the stupor of the dead tired in mind and body. Then, Riderhood came from the window cautiously, and stood by the bed. Poor man! Apostrophe, apostrophe, he murmured in a low tone, with a crafty face, and a very watchful eye and ready foot, lest he should start up. This here coat of his must make him uneasy in his sleep. Shall I loosen it for him, and make him more comfortable? Ah! I think I ought to do it, poor man. I think I will. Apostrophe, he touched the first button with a very cautious hand, and a step backward. but the sleeper remaining in profound unconsciousness, he touched the other buttons with a more assured hand, and perhaps the more lightly on that account. Softly and slowly, he opened the coat, and drew it back. The draggling ends of a bright red neckerchief were then disclosed, and he had even been at the pains of dipping parts of it in some liquid, to give it the appearance of having become stained by wear. With a much perplexed face, Rider Hood looked from it to the sleeper, and from the sleeper to it, and finally crept back to his chair, and there, with his hand to his chin, sat long in a brown study, looking at both. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.